During this season of Advent, as we anticipate and prepare for celebrating the birth of Jesus this Friday, I am preaching from this text that Gregory just read for us. And this is going to be our last in this series. We've looked at these six verses, and specifically, we've looked at these four sets or pairs of adjectives that we find in these verses. The first time we were together, we looked at wise and learned. That's in verses 25 through 27. And then in verse 28, we looked at weary and burdened. And then last week in verse 29, gentle and humble. And then today, verse 30, easy and light. So I would like to read just again verse 30 and then begin our time of teaching. Verse 30, Jesus says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In verses 28 through 30, there are actually three commands given by Jesus to anyone who might be listening. The first command is, "Come to me." We talked about this command 2 weeks ago, and we called it the Christmas invitation. His first command is not, "Do this," or "Don't do that," but simply, "Come." And with this invitation to come to him, Jesus is inviting us to bring all of our internal stuff, like our internal weariness, and all of our external things, all of our external burdens that we carry around with us that get us all worked up and anxious and stressed out and cause us to feel exhausted all the time. He invites us to come to him with all of those things, all that stuff that weighs us down. Jesus says, "Come to me with all of your weariness and with all of your burdens, and I'll give you rest. I will give you a safe place to set them down." The word rest there means release. And Jesus says, "Come to me and release. Set them down. Let go of them. All your burdens, all your weariness at my feet." Now, there's an important reason for this command to come first, to be the first of these three commands in this text. Because we must first come to him with all of our stuff, with all of our baggage, with all the burdens we carry around, with everything in life that causes us to feel weary, and give it to him. The psalmist says that we're to cast all of our cares upon him. And the reason we must do that first is because with the second command, Jesus is asking for us to take up something. And we cannot take up something if we're still carrying around all of our stuff. Our hands are too full. And so the second command that we see there in verse 29 is to take my yoke upon you. Now, what is a yoke? Now, I talked about our chickens last week, and so I don't want you to get confused. A yoke is not the yellow part of an egg. That's a yolk, Y-O-L-K. This is a yoke. Y-O-K-E. Now, it's not a term that we use much in the 21st century. So really, it's kind of an unknown term in many ways. There are two main kinds of yokes, and it's important to think about the difference. First, there's a double yoke. And this is probably the one you think about when you hear this term. It's a large wooden beam which harnesses two animals together in order to pull a cart or a plow. But the other kind is a single yoke. And it's simply worn by a single animal or by a person. and it's fitted for your shoulders in order to help distribute the weight of a load and make it easier to carry. Now, as I've studied and read specifically about yokes this week, I have found that the majority of scholars think that Jesus is most likely here referring to a single yoke. You see, the function of a yoke is to make a burden easier to carry. And even though the idea of being in a double yoke with Jesus is an appealing one, right? That's a really great image. It would definitely help make our burdens easier to carry because Jesus is helping us carry the weight in the double yoke. But more than just wanting to take the weight of the burden for you, Jesus wants to equip you to become the kind of person who can deal with the weight of the burdens in your life in a more healthy and effective manner. Yes, we could just double up with Jesus and immediately feel less burdened, but that leaves us unchanged. A double yoke changes our circumstances, but it does not change our character. So instead, I think Jesus wants for us to take his single yoke, the yoke which he wears, which I would like to define as his way of life. He wants for us to take on his way of life and allow it to transform us, allow it to equip us into people who are able to carry the burdens of our life better. Because there are burdens in our life that we all carry. But taking on his way of life helps us to carry these burdens in a much better way. Think about it with me like this, and I hope this helps to illustrate the difference. I brought a picture as an illustration this morning. There's the crew there. This is a few years ago. You can tell by the age of my children there. But on occasion, we've had the opportunity to go to the beach. And one of our favorite things to do as a family when we go to the beach is to rent bikes. Lots of great memories riding bikes together at the beach. It's a lot of fun for us. And there's a season in our lives when we would go to the beach and there would always be a child who was too young to ride on a single bike. Right? And so I would rent a double bike and they would ride with me. So you can see there in the image, William loving life. Right? I mean, that canopy, I mean, that thing is amazing. He's got his water bottle off to the side. He's probably on his Game Boy. No, he's not. But he's enjoying riding that double bike with his dad. But to help illustrate kind of the difference between a double and a single, as William's dad, is it my desire for him to always be riding on a double bike with me? Or is it my desire for him to mature and to grow in such a way that he can enjoy riding a single bike like his older brothers and sisters? I think this illustrates well this desire for Christ, from Christ for us to take on his single yoke, not just to attach ourselves to him through a double yoke, but to take on his single yoke, to take on his way of life to help us to be able to carry the burdens in our life in a more healthy manner. You know what the most popular form of literature is in our culture? The self-help and personal development books. We all recognize that we need help carrying the burdens of our life. We need others' guidance in figuring it all out. The most popular self-help book on Amazon.com this Christmas is a new book called Green Lights. It's by actor Matthew McConaughey. In the first chapter, he says that he's looked back over his 50 years of living, and he's found some things that he wants to share with the rest of us. He writes, "I have found consistent ways that I have approached life that have given me more satisfaction. I have found a reliable theme. I have discovered," he says, "the art of living." And he leaves off the G. It's living. So he wants to share with anyone who might pick up his book and read it what he's found. Now, nothing against Matthew McConaughey or Stephen Covey or Dale Carnegie or Tony Robbins, but I'm not going to take on their yoke, meaning their way of life, thinking that any one of them has found the best way for me to live. I don't care how enticing their yokes sound. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. The Power of Now. The Power of Habit. The Success Principles. Smarter, Faster, Better. Or one of my favorites, Chop Wood and Carry Water. Or one of Karen's favorites, The Life-Changing Magic of Up. Now, perhaps you've never thought about it like this, but these are all present-day examples of yokes, ways to live, instructions for better living. Jesus tells us here in Matthew chapter 11 that when you take his yoke upon you, you will find the best way to live. In verse 29, you will see there the word toward the end of verse 29, you will see the word find. It's a great word. It's literally the word that we get our English word eureka from. Eureka, if you're not familiar with that phrase, that term, it's an exclamation that means, I have found it. Although it's not often used today, in the past, it was a triumphant cry of joy on discovering something of great value. It's believed that Archimedes coined the term upon discovering a method for determining the purity of gold. And Jesus implies here that when we put on his yoke, when we put on his way of life, our reaction will be eureka. I don't need to look any further. I have found, I have discovered something worth more than gold. I have found the way that I want to live my life. The Jesus way. So that's verse 29. That's the second command, is to take the yoke of Jesus upon us, to take his way of life. And then the third command, also there in verse 29, third command Jesus gives in these verses is learn from me. Learn from me. So it's come to me, Take my yoke and learn from me. So as his disciples, we take on his yoke, his way of life. We decide, Eureka, this is the best way to live. And then we learn how to live our lives according to his ways. I've always liked how Dallas Willard defined a disciple. He was a professor and an author who wrote a great deal about discipleship. He wrote, a disciple is someone who is learning from Jesus how to live their life as he would live their life if he were in their place. That's a great definition. Someone who's learning from Jesus how to live their life as he would live their life if he were in their place. To put that in the form of a question, I could ask, how would Jesus live my life if he were me? And answering this question is the process of taking on his yoke, his way of life, and learning from him. The yoke that the Pharisees put on the shoulders of the people was a heavy, oppressive, burdensome way of life. Jewish tradition says that there were 613 commandments that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the scribes put on the shoulders of the people that had to be followed. Every T had to be crossed. Every I had to be dotted. 248 positive commandments and 365 negative commandments. But by definition, a yoke should not be oppressive. The function of a yoke is to make a burden easier to carry. And so Jesus tells us in verse 30 that his yoke, his way of life, is easy. And his burden is light. I want us to conclude this morning by looking at these two phrases. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. My opinion, this is just Barrett's opinion for what it's worth. Easy is not the best translation of this Greek word. The word literally means kind. Paul used this word in Ephesians 4:32 when he wrote, be kind to one another. It's the same word. And from what I understand, the reason that translators did not use kind in Matthew 11 in translating this word is because kind is a term used to describe a person. It's not typically used to describe an object. So I would not use the word kind as a way to describe my shoe. So likewise, the translators did not use kind to describe a yoke, and instead chose to use the word easy, which can be applied to an object. But there are many aspects of Jesus' way of life that I would just not describe as easy. One example, and this is just one, loving your enemy. Would any of you this morning describe that as easy? In fact, I don't think it would ever be the easy thing to do. However, according to Jesus Christ, it's always the kind thing to do. His yoke is always kind. And his burden is light. The burden that's created by his yoke is light. You know, this word translated burden, it literally means something that is carried. This is really neat. It's often used in non-biblical literature to refer to a child in a mother's womb. I think that's so insightful. Think about this for a minute. If I were to ask a pregnant mother if her burden was heavy, no matter how difficult it might be, no matter how much pain it caused her, no doubt it's a burden. But I think she would respond by saying that her burden is light. One author describes the burden of Jesus' yoke in this way. He writes, "It's like telling a drowning man that he must put on the yoke of a life preserver, only to hear him shout back, 'No way, not me. This is hard enough, drowning here in these stormy waters. The last thing I need is the added burden of a life preserver around my body.'" You see, every yoke that we take is going to create burden. Every yoke that we take is going to require work. Whether you take on the yoke of Matthew McConaughey or Stephen Covey or Dale Carnegie or anyone else, every yoke requires work. The rest that we find with the yoke of Jesus is not inactivity. Charles Spurgeon said it this way: "Jesus' yoke promotes rest, not rust." I like that a lot. His yoke promotes rest, not rust. Rest is not inactivity. It's the rest that comes from knowing that we have finally found the best way to live. Eureka! Look no more. And this brings rest to our souls. The yoke of Jesus will require effort, but the burden it might cause us will seem light, easy to bear, having little weight, and not burdensome at all. Perhaps you have seen this brand new Christmas commercial this week. Two best things that have happened media-wise, I think, this Christmas. There's a new version of The Little Drummer Boy that's out that, her name just slipped my mind. Carrie Underwood, thank you. I knew someone's seen it. But Carrie Underwood sings it with her son. Go home today and listen to it. It'll bless your life. But then the other thing is this Christmas commercial. This is a wonderful Christmas commercial. If you haven't seen it, I wanted to share it with you as we conclude. And I share it with you this morning as an illustration. I think it's a wonderful illustration of someone who takes on a yoke that is kind and a burden that is light. Let's watch this together. Thank you.
I watched that like 100 times this week, hoping that when I got up here and actually saw it, I would be able to talk, but it didn't help any. His yoke is kind, and his burden is light. Allow me to share one last time this season the Christmas invitation with you. Come to Jesus. Release all of your weariness and burdens at his feet. Take on his yoke, his way of life. Learn from him. For his yoke is kind, his burden is light. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for not only sending your Son to give us a safe place to lay down all of our burdens and weariness, but also for giving us your Son so that we can take on his way of life and learn from him. So we praise you for your precious Son. It's his name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.